I wonder what you think of when you hear the word education. I wonder what you think of or what stirs up in your body when you hear the word school. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word homework, right? This week, we start off on our third in our series, Excellence in Christian Development. We are in our series on identity. It's who we are at Palm Harbor. If you were to take a DNA sample, maybe like a thumbprint, and this is who we are. And our vision here at Palm Harbor, now this is week three, so you can all join in saying it. Our vision here at Palm Harbor is what? It is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to put that up on there if you missed it. Let's say it again just in case you missed it. Ready? What is our vision here? Lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's five ways we do that. We have five values, and everything we do around here fits into those five values. Open-hearted generosity, which we talked about last week. You got to have skin in the game. You got to be a part of the mission and ministry here at Palm Harbor. Excellence in Christian development, we're going to talk about that today. Next week, we'll talk about continuous focus on the future. Commitment to missions will be the week after that, and then we'll end with passionate participation. Are you guys ready for that? Some of you are passionate. Some of you are passionate, but I'll give you that. Yeah, and so when I think about the word education, I have a vision of the 1978 song, We Don't Need No Education. You guys remember that by Pink Floyd? It was called The Wall, and it was about teachers like, and this awful depiction of what teachers were. I have memories, when you say school, of people carving into old wooden desks, bored out of their mind. I have memories of getting hit by my teacher with his fingers or with a ruler off my math teacher because of some simple disobedience or some random rule. What do you think of when you hear the word education? Education is what we are talking about this week. Excellence in Christian development. The way we teach our children, what we teach our children, and how they develop through the years. They were all just here a minute ago. We've seen some of them on the screen for the baptism. What do you think of? Or what are you educating people with? What is it that you're schooling people with? How is it that people are being developed with an eye on excellence in Christian development? Well, somebody who was the epitome of Christian excellence in Christian development for me was a guy who grew up in the church when he was a kid, and Pastor Max, who I got to meet, anointed him when he was confirmed as a young man and said, "The Spirit of God is upon you." And for some reason, in his teen years, when he was older, he thought that his life, he didn't think that God loved him and Jesus liked him and he knew his name. And he decided to go down the path of alcohol and drug abuse. Thankfully, his mother and father, necessary vessels in our life, sent him to a rehab facility in Tampa, Tampa Bay Turning Point. And at Tampa Bay Turning Point, every week, if you've been good, you were allowed to go to church on Sunday. So 13 people from Tampa Bay Turning Point would come to my church every Sunday, and they'd trundle in every Sunday at 11 o'clock to come to church. And at my church, they learned that they could take communion no matter who they were, and they learned that God loved them, Jesus liked them, and they knew his name. And this guy realized this and remembered what he learned when he'd grown up. And his sponsor, who was helping him through alcohol addiction, he was going through the 12 steps, said to him, "Here, have a guitar, learn three chords, now you can do worship music," right? And he became a worship leader. And I kind of liked this guy, and he was getting clean, so I hired him as the youth director at the church. And he decided that God loved him, Jesus liked him, and he knew his name. He met a girl in Narcotics Anonymous. And she became like the decorator at my church. She asked me if I would baptize her. So I baptized in Oldsmar in the bay. They asked me if I would do premarital counseling for them because they wanted to get married and they wanted to unite themselves with God, with each other and with God. I said, sure. We married them. We had the best dry wedding ever. And then he says to me, I want to be a minister. I want to be a minister of the Lord. I want to be a pastor. Would you mentor me? Sure. And over this time, he was developing again and again as a Christian. He went to school. He went to Trinity College. And lo and behold, he graduated Trinity College with a GPA of 4.0. And he was, in that year, in the history of Trinity College, he was the first person ever to be the valedictorian who had arm tattoos. The most tattooed valedictorian ever. And then he went on to Asbury Theological Seminary. He went on to study there, and while he was there, he also had a 3.96 GPA. And he did so well at his commencement ceremony, at his graduation. Yeah, they gave him the Bible Award, which is basically the nerd who understands biblical Hebrew. What the heck? And my professor, you've heard him here, preacher, Dr. Brian Russell, says, hey, who is that guy? Who is that guy? I'm so glad he's not frying his brains anymore with drugs and alcohol because he's got a brilliant mind. He didn't say that about me, by the way. Yeah, his name is Tim Barton. You've heard him preach here before, and we've got a picture of you here for an update of what's going on in his family. There's him and his wife. It's Lexi on the right, Tim on the left. The new baby here, he's a bit older now, Harper, and then Ezra on the left. Tim Barton is kind of like the epitome, for me, of excellence in Christian development. He realized that Jesus loved him. He knew that God liked him and that God knew his name. And because of this, he was able to educate even more, amen? What about you? What is it that you are educating people with? How are you schooling people? What is it? What homework do you need to do about yourself and about God? And what does Jesus say about education? What does Jesus say about how we should teach our people? Well, today we are in John chapter 15. And if you've got your Bibles with you, open it to John chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the fourth gospel in our New Testament. It's the fourth story about who Jesus is and what he said when he was on earth. So John chapter 21, right towards the end. And what happens here is that Jesus is resurrected and he's walking along the beach in Galilee. And he sees the seven disciples in the boat. Now, the disciples are scared. They were wondering what happened at the resurrection. They weren't really sure anymore. So the only thing they knew what to do was to go fishing. They were like, let's just go fishing. So seven of them are in the boat, and they've been fishing all night, caught nothing. And Jesus, who they don't really know who it is right now, he says to them, hey, you got any fish yet? And why don't you throw your nets over the other side onto the starboard side? Because you can find some there. And they hauled in like 153 fish. And they're like, who is that guy? And they're looking over, and John, the disciple Jesus loves, he looked over and he says to Simon Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus on the beach. So Simon Peter, you know, like the little Labrador dog, like jumps out the water, goes running to Jesus kind of thing. Goes running to Jesus, realizes it's Jesus. And Jesus says, bring the fish up here. We're going to grill some fish. And if you didn't know, it's a deep theological thought that Jesus was a great griller. Just kidding. So he grilled the fish, and he feeds the seven disciples. And so their tummies are full. They've been fishing all night and all the weekend, and they finally sit down and eat some fish. And that's where we are in the text, verse 15. So read along with me. You might see something different. Here we go. John chapter 21, verse 15. After breakfast, the fish, After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." Then he says, "Feed my lambs." So this is the first time that Jesus speaks to Simon Peter after resurrection. And the first thing he says to him is, "Do you love me?" Now, some scholars say that it's in reference to the fish that are on the grill. Some say it's to the other six disciples that are sitting with him around the fire. Others say it's the actual trade of fishing, because like he's just left that to come to the shore. Whatever it was, Jesus is implying is, do you love me more than any of those things? Do you put me in the place of them? Of course, Simon Peter says, "Yeah, of course I do. Of course I love you." And then he says what? "Feed my lambs." By lambs, he means young people. Young people who we have here on campus. By young people or new believers in the faith. Now, we have the privilege of having young people here on campus. In fact, this Sunday, we are celebrating our BOE entities, all of the kids that are on campus that on in the week here from 6 to 6, this place is open, which I'm very proud of. And up to date, we're celebrating 40 years for Robin's Nest this year. Woohoo! Yeah. And there's 172 signed up in class in there for Robin's Nest. So 9 to 12 here is bustling with children. Stars and Comets has been going since 1987 with 203 signed up for Stars and Comets. And of course, we had a great Camp Cover with 30 years that's been going. And we had the 510 signed up for that. And then at our Westlake Christian School, got some pictures of scrolling through here. Westlake Christian School, we've got over 530 people here on campus with the most annoying parking lot in Pinellas County. Yeah. But we have over 900 lambs here on campus every week. And this is how we are shaping our community. And what do we teach them? What do we teach them while we're here? How do we feed them? What do we let them know while we're here? We tell them that God loves them, Jesus likes them, and they know their name. One of my favorite things to do is to lead chapel in all three things, Stars and Comets, Robin's Nest, and Wesley. One of my favorite things to do is be down on my knees right here or here with the two-year-olds doing the action for Robin's Nest. Because I get to teach two-year-olds what? That Jesus loves them. And we believe that two-year-olds need to know that Jesus loves them, amen? Because somebody else is going to tell them something else later on. Someone's going to tell them that there actually something else can help them with their life, that their neuron paths should go this particular way when they think about themselves, and they should compare them to themselves to other people who look like and sound like they've got things figured out, right? But we believe here that we've got the message to teach them. So Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." And we're doing that here. And I get the privilege of people saying to me, "Oh, my kids love your Robin's Nest program. My kids love going to Stars and Comets. Oh, I was at a pool party the other week and somebody came up to me and the kid walks right up to me. I didn't even know the kid. He walks right up to me and looks me right in the eye and says, 'I was at Camp Cumber all summer. I remember you.'" I get the privilege of seeing the lambs know that Jesus loves them. Okay, so verse 16, the next verse, Jesus says this to him. Same question. Jesus replied, repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." Then this time he says, "Then take care of my sheep." So different than the first one, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Here at Palm Harbor, we've been taking care of our community for a long time. We actually have people trained to minister to those who are sick or in need of care. I don't go to all hospital visits. And in fact, if you want to be a part of caring for our community, see Pastor Kathy, and she will help you and train you to be a part of that. If you need care, please also speak to Pastor Kathy. We take care of the people who know who Jesus loves in our community. Amen? We must take care. And that's what Jesus says, take care of my sheep. Sheep are those who get it and understand that Jesus loved them. And the community here is really important in making sure that each of us take care of one another. So the next thing Jesus says in verse 17 is, the third time he asks, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt this time. Asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So the first time was feed my lambs. The second time was take care of my sheep. This time he says, feed my sheep. Now I don't know the intonation of Jesus' voice. I don't know where Jesus emphasized, you know, feed my sheep or feed my sheep, you know. But he wanted Simon Peter to know that in order for you to be the kind of person where to be the apostle, to be sent out, then you are going to have to feed my sheep. Like I said, the sheep are those who get it. And we need feeding. We need helping to understand the scripture and to move on to the next phase of life. It's not just like, okay, Jesus loves us. Jesus knows my name. I'm cool. We need to understand more about God, understand more about ourselves, and so that we can give up all we know about ourselves to all we know about God. And so we have classes for that here, Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, and some people meet in homes or on Zoom to educate us on the Bible, to have us have a feeding. And I need feeding too, but only I am responsible to making sure that I am fed. Thankfully, 10 of us this week, 10 of our staff went to a training in Texas at Woodlands up there at New Room, where we were fed into. Your staff is excited and reinvigorated for ministry, and you're happy with that, right? Amen. Yeah, we're happy about that. And we were with 3,000 other people in an auditorium praising God, and it was such an amazing sight and an amazing refresher. And it's through your giving that we were able to do that. And your staff and I were real thankful we could do it. So, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. This was the responsibility of an apostle. Yeah, they were disciples, and then Jesus is commissioning the head of the disciples, the Simon Peter. He was kind of the big guy. He was in charge of the other 11, and these people were responsible now for feeding the lambs, taking care of the sheep, and feeding the sheep. And from those 11, 12 people, we got what we've got today. Those people were responsible. In other traditions, we call them saints, Saint John, Saint Simon. And because these people were able to transition what they knew, what they'd heard from Jesus, and teach it to everybody else. And that is our responsibility here. We want excellence in Christian development. Whether you're 2 years old, whether you're 10 years old, whether you're 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, don't forget, I baptized a 92-year-old last week. Woo, yeah. He said to me, this is, when I was baptizing him, he says to me, this is a new beginning for me. That's what he said at the beach. This is a new beginning. And everyone was cheering, woo. I don't care how old you are. Sometimes we just need a refreshing, right? To understand that God loves us, Jesus likes us, and Jesus knows our name, amen? And God says, Jesus says, feed my sheep. That's our responsibility. That's what we're passionate about. And that's what we do with excellence around here. Verse 18 in the scriptures, he then says, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. He's still talking to Simon Peter. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your bands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him what? Follow me. What did he say to him? Follow me. He didn't say, I'd have liked him to. Here is here's the system for the way you're going to feed people. He didn't say, here's the whole organizational structure of how you're going to take care of my sheep. He didn't say, these are the steps you're going to take. He gave us our brains for that. But he did say one thing. He said, follow me. Follow me. And no matter where we are in our life, in our life stage, whether you're in Robert's Nest, Westlake, working, not working, retired like Wayne, yeah, there's one thing that Jesus said that we should do, which is what? Follow me. Follow Jesus. And we do this with excellence. But what do you think of when you hear the word excellence? What do you think of perfect? Do you think of, straight A's all the time? Perfect behavior? No, I didn't get perfect behavior, you might imagine. I'm a straight A student. Expensive. One of the things I like to teach the students is Philippians 4:8. One of my favorite texts when Paul's talking to the church in Philippi. This is a beloved church of his, and at this particular church, as he's just getting to the end of the scriptures, he says to him, and now, dear brothers, this is a letter he wrote to them, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And that word excellent there in the Greek is arete. Arete means virtue, goodness, whatever's wonderful. Which begs the question of us, what are we doing that is excellent? What has wonder to it? What's wonderful? What's virtuous? What has goodness attached to it? Not what other people see as perfect. What has goodness attached to what you are teaching? Each of us are teachers, no matter where we are in our lives. We must be excellent in every place that we're responsible for, whether we're teachers, stars and comets. But we must understand that Jesus wants us to be excellent. In order for us to do that, we must think of those we need to educate. We heard Zach Meerkriebs on at New Room, and this is the guy who was responsible for preaching before this great revival that happened in Asbury in Kentucky earlier this year. And he says, have an L19 list. And everyone was like, what's an L19 list? Luke 19, he says. You have in Luke 19, when Jesus walked into Jerusalem and he wept. And he wept because he was desperate for the people of Jerusalem to repent and follow him. He was desperate for people to understand that Jesus loved them, God liked them, and they knew his name. He was desperate. I can't even imagine Jesus being desperate for us. And Zach encouraged us to have an L19 list. For us, we'll just do one person. And this is your challenge today. Who is on your L19 list? Who is that one person you are desperate to educate, desperate to tell that Jesus loves them, God likes them, and he knows their name? Think about that person. Tell them today. Text them. Send them a note. Send them a message and say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. That's your challenge today. We want to teach excellence in Christian development. In fact, we want our Robin's Nest teachers, our Stars and Comets teachers, and our Westlake teachers to stand. If you are part of those people, we want you to stand up right now. And we're gonna pray for them and commission them as they teach excellence in Christian development, and as they see others here at this school and want them to know desperately for those children to know that God likes them, Jesus loves them, He knows their name. Stretch out a hand to those who are sitting around, and let's pray and commission those for ministry. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have children on campus here daily. Empower your teachers here today. Empower all of those who teach on this campus with an excellence on Christian development, that they might know that you love them, that you like them, and you know their name. Equip and empower these teachers to do this. We ask this in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen.